Today's gospel lesson concludes with one of the most beloved quotes of Jesus, probably second only to John 3:16. "Come to me, all you that are weary, carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That used to be read as a part of every Episcopal Communion service. I grew up hearing it most Sundays. In fact, when I read that verse, I still hear it in the King James Version in my dad's voice. "Come to me, all ye who travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's a wonderful and a comforting passage. On the surface of it, it seems to be a promise of comfort and ease in life. The problem with that is that that's not what the rest of the life and teaching of Jesus promises us. In fact, it's pretty clear we're told that the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. We shouldn't expect that either. So to understand what this means, this beloved passage, we need to take a minute and consider what the context is. What's going on as the story moves and Matthew's telling us. Now, Matthew, it's important to understand, organized the gospel into blocks, into teaching blocks. This is a very Jewish teaching methodology. And Matthew was actually more concerned to structure the teaching blocks than he was with specific chronology. If you want chronology, go read Luke. Luke is the one who laid things out in order in a very particular way. Matthew is more concerned to group things by theme and topic. And so you get a little bit of travelogue and some parables and a teaching, or some travelogue and some miracles and some teaching scattered in. It's in little groups like that. This section is no different. In fact, this verse, "Come to me, all you that are weary, carrying heavy burdens," comes at the conclusion of a very important block of material. This is the capstone that Matthew places on this whole cluster of teaching. And so here's what's going on. Back in chapter 10, the previous chapter, Jesus sends out the 12. We heard about that just a few weeks ago as we read through some of those lessons. Jesus sends out the 12, sends them out to the various towns and villages around to prepare them for Jesus' arrival and to tell them that the kingdom of God is at hand. And if you recall, he warns them that not everybody is going to be receptive. Not everybody will be happy about that message. In fact, some will reject you. In some places, you'll have to just walk out of town and shake the dust off your feet. And some of you, he told them, may even be killed. He warned that the reality of Jesus can actually serve to separate people between those who choose Jesus and follow Jesus and those who do not, those who choose a different path. But he also promised them that those who receive them receive Jesus and receive the rewards of receiving Jesus. There's the good and the bad. And so there's the first part of the story is the 12 being sent out on this mission. And then the next thing that we read about in the beginning of chapter 11 is John the Baptist, kind of the first great missionary of the church, who went out preaching, preparing for Jesus' coming. And what we're told about here is that some of John's disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Hey, are you the one? Are you the one that we're expecting? Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus tells them that he is, and then goes on to tell the disciples about how important John's work is, and how important it is that those who prepare the way go out and do so. even though John ended up with his head on a platter at the whim of a young dancing girl. And then there's a section of woes on the cities that don't receive Jesus, that don't receive the message of Jesus, the followers of Jesus. And so we have the first missionaries that are sent out, the 12. We have John, that first great missionary. And we have the different ways in which people respond to those who go out to tell others about Jesus, who invite others into that relationship. So what the cluster is really about, this block, is really about that mission, that going out into the world and the various ways in which that's going to be responded to. And what is it that we are trying to do as the followers of Jesus as we go out into the world? And then he continues like this. And on the surface of it, it seems a little odd. He said, at that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. So what is it that's been hidden from the wise and the intelligent and has been revealed to infants? I think it is the invitation that these missionaries have been carrying to a faith that is simply trusting in Jesus. You see, the tradition had been that we are right by God by living according to the law, by knowing the law, by following the law, by applying it properly in our lives. That, my friends, is a heavy burden. It's a burden we'll never satisfy. It's a burden that we'll never get all the way there with. And the truth that the center of our relationship is to simply trust Jesus. The center of our relationship with God is not getting everything right. It's not having all the right answers. It's not having a perfect doctrine. It's not finding the perfect church. It's not having 3 pages of memorized scripture verses. The center of our faith is our coming to trust in Jesus. Infants get that. Babies get what it is to trust. I used to work at a summer camp. Calvary Camp was a church camp run by the Diocese of Pittsburgh. And every year, for about 3 days, right at the beginning of the summer, we had this thing called Opportunity Camp. And at Opportunity Camp, one of the facilities in Pittsburgh that cares for various handicapped children would set up a bunch of their children. It was a highlight of the summer. It was wonderful. It was only 3 days, but it was a great time. We all loved Opportunity Camp. And so these kids would come up. And for the last couple of years, I was in charge of the waterfront, which meant that one of my jobs was to load up a bunch of these kids in the bus, in the camp bus, drive the bus down to the waterfront on Lake Erie. This camp was right on the shore of Lake Erie, so we'd go down to the beach and let them play in the water at the beach. Sometimes we would take them sailing. We had a couple of sailboats and so forth. And so I would drive them down, and I remember vividly, I would stand at the bottom of the stairs of the bus, and I would put my hands up like this. And they didn't even hesitate. They would just stand up at the top of the stairs and just fall right into my hands. They just had this trust, this simple trust, this unquestioning confidence. They didn't look and think, okay, I'm kind of a chubby kid, maybe he won't be able to hold me, or is this guy really paying attention? Nope, they just fall right into my hands. That's the kind of simple faith, simple trust that Jesus seeks from us. We want to make it so hard. We want to make it about doing everything right, about knowing enough, about being being smart enough and disciplined enough and careful enough and knowledgeable enough and all of those things. We want to have our doctrine right. We want to know the commandments. We want to do our duty. Jesus just wants us to trust him. You catch up the common denominator and all those things that we want to do this. It's about me, isn't it? It's about me being smart enough. It's about me being good enough. It's about me knowing enough. It's about me being disciplined enough. Jesus is inviting us to a faith that is about him, not about us. Now, yes, these things are still important. It's still important to study and learn and try to understand, but not because that's how we get to God, but because that's how we are shaped into his followers. That's how we are shaped into the people that he has intended for us to be. That's not what makes the relationship. Most of us sitting in this room have children. And you know that as we understand that relationship, our relationship with our children is not based on them doing all the right stuff, or those they never do, or following all the commandments, or knowing all the rules, or being perfectly disciplined. No, we love them simply because they're our children. Nothing more. Nothing more than that. And God looks at us in that way, without that taint of our human impatience and frustration and all those things that sometimes you get in the way of that relationship. God looks at us and loves us. And yes, he wants us to do those things just like we want our kids to be smart and disciplined and to study hard and to work hard. We want them to do those things because we know that leads to a better, happier, fuller, more complete life. And so, yes, doing all these things leads to better for us. That's not what makes God love us. And that sometimes is hidden from the wise and intelligent. Because they see it as all about what I understand and what I can figure out and what I can talk about. And so with that background, we come to this closing verse on this whole section about being sent out. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So we see what that burden is. That burden of trying to earn our way to God. That's the burden that Jesus wants us to put aside. Take my yoke upon you. What is the yoke of Jesus? The yoke of Jesus is trust. Just to trust in him. To be confident in him. To just fall into his arms. Trusting that he will catch us, whatever baggage we may carry along. Now there's still a mission. There's still work to be done. There are others to be invited into that relationship. There are others who are carrying heavy burdens who are to be invited into that opportunity to set those burdens down and take on a different yoke, to take on that yoke of Jesus. And they won't know it unless we carry that word. We carry that word in deed, and we carry that word in word as we go out into the world. And sometimes that work is very hard, and sometimes that work is costly. Costly to us personally, costly to the people around us. The promise here is not that we will live lives of ease and comfort. The promise here is that we don't have to carry the burden of being good enough for God in order to earn his love. The yoke that we get that ties us to Jesus, that enables us, because that's what a yoke does, you know, a yoke enables us to accomplish work, right? Put a yoke on an ox, that's what it's for. It enables the ox to accomplish work. But the yoke is easy. The yoke of trusting in Jesus is easy. Now the work may still sometimes be hard. But that's okay. Because the burden is off. The burden is Jesus. Jesus's to carry. Our work may sometimes be hard, but our faith isn't hard. Trusting in Jesus isn't hard. His yoke is easy. His burdens.